In light of all this, here is what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, I spoke with you about the need to be on the same page as far as your mission, as the leader of a staff, and not to suffer from missional drift. Today, I want to talk about the importance of oneness on a staff. I want to speak about the importance of alignment around the mission and vision and values that you hold as a leader that you cast forth for your church. There was a time in my life that I was an athlete. Age and gravity is taking its toll on my knees. In fact, I saw a seminary classmate of mine here yesterday, and he said, when I heard that you'd been elected president of Asbury, I said, I don't know if he still loves Jesus, but I know he had a great jump shot when we were in seminary together. I am an unrepentant fan of athletics. I'm an unrepentant Penn State football fan. Now, those of you from the other schools in the Big Ten, I'll still pray for you. And you pray for me, because we need a lot of help right now at Penn State. But one of my annual pilgrimages every fall has been to go to State College on a fall afternoon and spend the afternoon with our three children and 106,000 of our closest friends as we lose all semblance of sanity and cheer for the Nittany Lions. A number of years ago, we were at a game, and during the first half of the game, Penn State was getting beat all over the field. They looked awful. The linemen were not firing in sequence. The backfield was not in the right sequence. The receivers seemed to be running the wrong patterns. And then when we were on defense, it was even worse. I didn't think that it was a Joe Paterno coached football team. They looked so terrible. Then halftime came, and they went into the locker room. I wish I had heard what he said to them. Because when they came out in the second half, it was an entirely different team. The linemen were firing on sequence. The backfield was in coordination. The receivers were running the correct patterns, and they came back from a 15-point deficit and won by 10 points going away. The difference between the first half and the second half was alignment. In the first half, the team was acting as individuals. They were not on the same page. They were not working for the same purpose. But something happened during halftime that brought them out, so that this team was now working as a unit, with each individual part of the unit doing its respective part, functioning as a whole, and it was a beauty to behold. Church staffs are sometimes like the first half, where all the individuals have their own agendas, they're pulling in their own directions, they're about their own thing. But you as the leader have the call of God upon your lives to help them live like the second half, where individuals subjugate their own agendas for the agenda of the whole, where they're willing to set aside their own priorities and live in humility with one another, so that the mission and the vision and the values of the body as you cast them forth are lived into. And when that happens, it is a wonder to behold. As a leader, it's your privilege to assemble a team. And as you do that, make sure that the individuals are willing to be a part of the whole, that they're willing to work in alignment. Yesterday, you heard several lists of qualities that you ought to be looking for in potential members of your team. I'd like to add my four non-negotiables to those lists. These are non-negotiables that I've had as a local church pastor. They were first taught to me by the senior pastor that I first worked with, who I then became his co-pastor. And I've used them in the congregation that I led as a senior pastor, and I've used them as a district superintendent. They're very simple. I expect four things of the people that I work with. Number one, I expect unswerving devotion to Jesus and the practice of spiritual disciplines within some form of accountable community of faith. I expect that the people that I'm working with are going to be growing up into the likeness of Christ and be able to lead from a strong center that is rooted and founded in the Word of God and is lived out in accountable relationships with one another. The second non-negotiable is that I expect unswerving devotion to one's family and to the relationships that give one life. Folks, our families are not to be casualties of what we do in the name of God. The only thing that we can take to heaven with us are the people that we're in a relationship with. And what good would it be for us to get to heaven if we don't have the people that we love the most in our lives with us? And some of us can look back over our lives and see the train wreck of our family systems behind us. Now, let me tell you what that practically means. I'm the father of three teenagers. You pray for me, because I've got miles to go before I sleep. But that means that this fall, after we move to Kentucky, if my son Joseph has a 3 o'clock in the afternoon soccer game, guess where I'm going to be? I'm going to be at the soccer game. I'll get back to work. Nobody will ever accuse me of not doing my work. But I only get one shot of being a parent of teenagers. And I'm trying desperately to find some balance in that. You've already heard good counsel on this one, so I'll let that go. The third non-negotiable for me is excellence in what you do. I do not demand perfection. We're all going on to perfection, but I do expect excellence. So that means that the people I work with, we set goals for one another and we hold one another accountable, and there are feedback loops to make sure we're going on to perfection in our work together. It means that we know where we are and where we want to go, and we will do everything we can do to develop the skill sets and the resources in order for us to get to where we need to go. But I will demand that people function in an excellent manner. And I would expect no less of myself. And the last piece, the last non-negotiable for me, is unswerving devotion to me as the leader. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. That doesn't mean that if I'm doing something immoral, illegal, or unethical, that somebody shouldn't call me on that. That's definitely the case. But what I'm talking about is that as the leader of an organization, as the leader of a church, as the pastor in charge of a community of faith, I believe that God has put us there for the purpose of leadership. And we're assembling a team that are willing to work under the authority of that leadership. And once the leader of an organization casts the vision, the people need to be working in conjunction with that. Now, that does not mean that people can't disagree with me. But it means that it needs to be done in the context of relationship, inside of an office or across a table from another, one-on-one, so that we can work that through, so that it does not divide the body of Christ. As a district superintendent, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into churches where staff people have been at war with one another, and they've not handled that within the context of community, and they've handled that in the larger community, and you better believe that that'll divide the body quicker than anything, because it's human nature to want to look for a chink in the armor. And it'll divide and conquer you as a leader. But if you'll have devotion to the leader, who is hopefully listening to Christ, and you work together in the same fashion to pursue the mission and the vision and the values as cast forth by that leader, then it is a remarkable thing to watch. You need to determine what your non-negotiables are. But one of the values that you need to have as a leader is to have alignment in your staff, that you're all working together, each person performing the gift that they've been given by God to perform in conjunction with the mission and the vision and the values that you cast for that congregation. And as that occurs, in a small fashion, the kingdom comes. And we are blessed to be a part of it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in this place, we get to see a glimpse of what alignment looks like. And we pray your blessing upon Adam and the staff, paid and volunteer here at the Church of the Resurrection. And we pray that you would continue to help them to flourish in a kingdom way. Empower us, O God, to go back to our places, clear on our mission, calling people into alignment, pursuing that which you've laid upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for coming. Being with us. Bless you.